My name is Ben Burrell, and this is Bob Dylan Album by Album, a podcast that brings you an in-depth look at each Bob Dylan studio recording, record by records. Welcome to episode 5 on Blonde on Blonde. 3 episodes to go, including this one on this special season. I hope you've been enjoying it so far. I hope you enjoyed the little special on Bob's birthday last week. Thank you once again to all the contributors to that. I thought it sounded really nice, actually. A nice little patchwork quilt of thoughts on Dylan throughout his 80 years. A very quick kind of mini episode. So if you missed that last week, then go and have a listen to that when you get 5 minutes. Coming up very soon on the Patreon show, Bob Dylan Album by Album Extra, which is a bonus show that runs every other week throughout the year. There's been some good stuff on there recently, by the way. But to come is an interview with Charlie McCoy, who obviously played on Blonde on Blonde, was a big part of Blonde on Blonde. He wasn't necessarily the band leader, but he certainly was much more than just a session musician. So I'll be talking to him about Blonde on Blonde and the other albums he made with Dylan. Get that on the Patreon feed very, very soon. Let's say hello to some recent subscribers. Hi to Joachim. Hi, Jonathan Tomblad. Hi to Dean Scott. Hello, David Shankey. Hi to Craig Coffey. Hi to Gary Furs. Hello, Andrew Randall. Hello, Male Patton Radness. Hi to Steve Trice. And hi to Sally Louise, who, by the way, is a brilliant singer-songwriter. Just released her debut album. Go and check it out. They are all subscribers, and you can be a subscriber too to Bob Dylan Album by Album Extra. The link is in this episode's description. Let's go back to Nashville, shall we, for part 5 on Blonde on Blonde. We look at the next 2 songs on this record, and we also take a look at the songs that didn't make the cut and why. Once again, we return to 1966's Blonde on Blonde. You say you love me and you're thinking of me, but you know you could be wrong. You say you told me that you wanna hold me, but you know you're not that strong. This song, Most Likely You Go Your Way and I'll Go Mine, is part of one of the things that sets Blonde on Blonde apart from the other 2 albums in Dylan's famous 60s trio. It's the type of pop song that you wouldn't really find on a Dylan record up to this point. Its swinging rhythm is one of a number of times we throw ourselves headfirst into pop on this record. The other 2 main times being I Want You and One of Us Must Know. It's no surprise that one of the biggest producers of the last 20 years, Mark Ronson, decided to remix this song in 2007. The track has all the hallmarks of pop music. It's melodic from start to finish, it's got a catchy riff provided by the song's brass, the chorus is hook-laden, and it has that classic Dylan descending melody, but we also get something we don't usually get from Dylan. Well, not on this album anyway. In the song's signature moments, the music briefly drops out apart from the drums, and Dylan delivers the titular lines backed with just them. It's a showy, more glitzy, more pop music moment. Those drums right from the very start of the song clatter and rattle their way through it. Like we've seen before, it's one of the best things about Blonde on Blonde, the drum line. No matter who's providing it, it always sounds good on this LP. Everything about this track reminds us this isn't Dylan in his normal mode. Like we've already seen, the sound here, and indeed on this entire LP, is different to the other 2 records in that 60s trio I mentioned. Of course, they're all electric, to a degree, but this is much more of a pop record. Highway 61 Revisited is a rock album, like a Rolling Stone and Tombstone Blues set the precedent for that LP. Bringing it all back home, while containing many electric elements, is largely, for me, a rock-folk album. Blonde on Blonde is much more pop-leaning. The riffs, the choruses, the amount of hits, it all sets it aside from its contemporaries. In fact, I Want You, Just Like a Woman, One of Us Must Know, and this track are among some of the most radio-friendly moments in Dylan's entire career. What is also interesting is the fact that while this is a pop record, albeit a pop record on the quiet, Blonde on Blonde is strangely a much freer album than a lot of Dylan's 60s LPs. For me, this is down to the Nashville setting. Highway 61 Revisited is, as we know, a rock album, but it was actually pretty conservative in parts. They play it safe on songs like Queen Jane and It Takes a Lot to Laugh, whereas on Blonde on Blonde it has that wild sound. It manages to simultaneously become more commercial, but less conservative. Lyrically, Most Likely You Go Your Way and I'll Go Mine is a song that is paired with Leopard Skin Pillbox Hat and One of Us Must Know. Like we've seen a lot on Blonde on Blonde, once again, we're on the subject of love. On the LP, Dylan seems to be thinking a lot about past relationships. On the track Just Like a Woman, he asks a former lover, mentioned in the title, not to reveal the man he was, singing I Was Hungry and It Was Your World. On Leprechaun Pillbox Hat, we hear a funny take about a former lover and her hat that the narrator has become obsessed with. Whilst on One of Us Must Know, we hear a slightly bitter, apologetic, almost goodbye about a failed relationship. Here we seem to be in a similar situation. On One of Us Must Know, the chorus reads, but sooner or later one of us must know that you really did what you're supposed to do. And coming from a similar place on the chorus here, we have Dylan singing, then time will tell who has fell and who's been left behind when you go your way and I'll go mine. Both tunes are essentially saying, when this is all over, you'll see what happened here. You'll really see what went wrong in hindsight. This whole song is basically an elongated goodbye, a final love letter, as Dylan sings, you say you're sorry for telling stories that you know I believe are true. You say you got some other kind of lover, and yes, I believe you do. Say my kisses are not like his, but this time I'm not going to tell you why that is. I'm just going to let you pass, yes, and I'll go last. In fact, it's so elongated that he actually says a proper goodbye halfway through the song with the lines, sometimes it gets so hard to care. It can't be this way everywhere. And I'm going to let you pass. Yes, and I'll go last. And he's still saying that same goodbye right through to the end of the tune. Say my kisses are not like his. But this time I'm not going to tell you why that is. I'm just going to let you pass. The album's next track, we're still on love, but it's the other side of love, which is also found littered on Blonde on Blonde. Temporary Like Achilles is in the vein of I Want You or Pledging My Time. There's desire and want here. All throughout the song, our narrator is telling us he is waiting on a woman. He's waiting for a woman who is playing hard to get. We hear lines like, how come you don't send me no regards? You know I want your loving, honey. Why are you so hard? This is delivered over smoky blues sonics. Once again, this is in a late night setting, which adds to the lyrics' glum reflection. Our narrator is so besotted with his lover that he is completely lost without her. On the second verse, Dylan sings, kneeling neath your ceiling, yes, I guess I'll be here for a while. I'm trying to read your portrait, but I'm helpless, like a rich man's child.
Kneeling neath your ceiling, yes, I guess I'll be here for a while. I'm trying to read your portrait, but I'm helpless like a rich man's child.
The line, a rich man's child, gives us the impression that this character is dependent on her. Like a rich kid, he doesn't really know or understand the world. He's been wrapped up in cotton wool and privilege and is reliant on her to live, to get through, to carry on functioning in the world. Like all good love songs of this nature, later during the bridge, things get a little embittered. I love the passage about her heart being made of stone. Dylan sings, like a poor fool in his prime. Yes, I know you can hear me walk. But is your heart made out of stone or is it lime or is it just solid rock? From here, things get a little stranger. I mean, this is Blonde on Blonde, after all. It's never going to be without its oddities. Dylan sings of scorpions and the circus. The lines are, well, I lean into your hallway, lean against your velvet door. I watch upon your scorpion who crawls across your circus floor. This makes it sound like our narrator's lover is dangerous, or at least has hurt our narrator in some way. Scorpions also connotes a slow terror. Like spiders, they possess that sinister creeping movement. The circus part makes it sound like our narrator thinks her life is like a circus, chaotic and silly, as in the expression, this place is a circus. Perhaps this, like the solid rock lines, is the petulant side of our narrator. But it's all an act. You can tell, really, between the lines, he's still in love with her. He still wants her. Finally, we're introduced to the titular character, the famous Achilles. In Greek mythology, Achilles was a hero of the Trojan War, the greatest of the Greek warriors, and he's the central character to Homer's Iliad. In the story of the Trojan War, Achilles has a fatal flaw. This changes drastically depending on the version you read or the interpretation of that version. Sometimes it's physical. Infamously, he has that troublesome heel, the single weakness of an otherwise indestructible body. That came from his mother dipping him in the river Styx, making his entire body indestructible except for the part of his foot where she held him. As a side note, if Mrs. Achilles is listening, next time dip him in and then dip him in again holding the other foot. I digress. Other interpretations note that it's not his heel, but his hubris, or sometimes it seems to be something more. He has a rage, or he has no patience, or he's naive. Either way, he is a hero character that is fatally flawed. Almost the perfect human, but not quite. Almost the perfect lover, but not quite. In Dylan's song, the lyrics on him are as follows. Achilles is in your alleyway. He don't want me here. He does brag, he's pointing to the sky, and he's hungry like a man in drag. How come you get someone like him to be your guard? This hero character is protecting our narrator's love. Perhaps she has left our narrator for this supposed superhuman. Everyone thinks he's a hero, but our narrator knows he is flawed, just like Achilles himself. Perhaps he thinks Achilles will do our narrator's lover harm, and he is actually there to protect her. In the mind of our narrator, though, whatever it is, Achilles is temporary and he is the future. The man in drag line could be a reference to another part of the Achilles story. At one point, our Greek hero was left to die, but he manages to escape his fate and ends up disguising himself as a girl at the court of Skyros. While there, he falls in love with a princess and actually ends up marrying her. So this could be Dylan just nodding to Greek mythology. This whole story has become such a popular topic in arts and literature from classical times right up until the middle of the 20th century, with over 30 types of operas on the theme between 1641 and 1857, and now here it is, once again in pop culture, on Dylan's first double album. In the studio, the song was cut by Buttrey on drums, McCoy on bass, Robbins on piano, Cooper on electric piano, Robertson and South on electric guitars, and Dylan on harmonica and vocals. On the song, Bob finally found a home for the two-chorus line that had been kicking around since the first Blonde on Blonde session on the 5th of October. This is when they were still in New York, and the phrase that appears in that session is, "Honey, but it's just too hard," which is featured on the top of the Stuck Inside of Mobile with the Memphis Blues Again typescript. This song is one of the few times when we trade the thin Wild Mercury sound for a more straightforward blues one. It's another of the album's late night tracks. This is set at the same time of day as Visions of Johanna or Just Like a Woman. Musically, it's a fine performance. There's a brilliant turn from Robbins. I love Cooper's little stabs on the organ, and South delivers some luxurious licks on the guitar. This song is closely linked to another from the Blonde on Blonde sessions, Medicine Sunday. In fact, Medicine Sunday is basically an early sketch of what temporary like Achilles would become. They share a melody and the "Why You Gotta Be So Hard" chorus lines. They also share similar themes of something being locked away or unobtainable. On the short version on the Cutting Edge bootleg, Dylan sings, "And you smile so pretty and nod to the prison guard." This is a theme that crops up a lot on Blonde, something being unobtainable, far away, or not immediately with our narrator. You feel this might be a hangover from Dylan's fame that has burnt so brightly over the last couple of years. This, coupled with the motorcycle crash that is on the horizon, Dylan's basic way out of that situation, and it's easy to see that he might just be singing about himself in a lot of these situations. Medicine Sunday and Temporary Like Achilles' biggest difference, though, is the sonics. On the early cuts, Dylan was yet to properly land on the thin Wild Mercury sound. As if we needed it confirmed given the sessions that would follow, this reinforces the Nashville band would be the key to unlock that particular door for Dylan. While Garth Hudson's organ doesn't sound a million miles away from Al Kooper's Nashville tones, Robertson's guitar and pretty much everything else on this song still sounds like it's in Highway 61's rock mode.
On a midnight train, pulling out down the track. You're standing there watching with your hands folded behind your back.
Still being in the previous album's mode is even more of the case on another song from the New York Sessions. She's Your Lover Now is where Dylan is still employing that 65 album's famous tack piano. In the same session as Medicine Sunday, they also have 11 goes at a song called I Wanna Be Your Lover. This song is looking forward to the Blonde on Blonde sonics, but still falling short of them. The lyrics are again in the same realm as a lot of Blonde on Blonde tracks. At one point, Dylan sings The Undertaker in the Midnight Suit, which certainly has a very Blonde on Blonde feel to it. But still, you can just tell, quality-wise, in this cut, something is missing. The magic just hasn't descended onto the sessions yet. Dylan and the band worked on the song during the same session as Can You Please Crawl Out Your Window. They switched between the two songs in not the most inspiring musical session of all time. Many have compared this tune to the Beatles song, I Wanna Be Your Man. In that song, there's lyrics like, Wanna be your lover, baby, wanna be your man. I wanna be your lover, baby, I wanna be your man. Love you like no other baby, like no other can. In Dylan's song, he sings, I wanna be your lover, baby, I wanna be your man. I wanna be your lover, baby, I wanna be your man. I don't want to be hers, I want to be yours. The Dylan cut feels like a reply or even an attempted outdoing of the Beatles song, which, it has to be said, is pretty ordinary. If this is true, it might not be the last time this happens in this era. A song that does make it onto the LP fourth time around was Dylan's response to Norwegian Wood. John Lennon got the idea for that song after being inspired by Dylan, something Dylan would approach in that song. But more on that on a future episode. I Wanna Be Your Lover started out life with a bluesy approach. Apparently Dylan didn't really like what he heard on the playback because by take two, they had changed their approach to the song. Robertson, who had been on good form on the first take, retained his guitar riff, but they upped the tempo around that. It's in a similar rock treatment to a song like from a Buick Six, but with a little bit more of a Blonde on Blonde type flavour to it, although a very minor Blonde on Blonde type flavour. This is also when Dylan tweaked the lyrics. He makes them almost identical to the Beatles cut in this second take. They ran it several times, but it never made the cut, despite resulting in a completed take. When it was finally released 20 years later on the box set Biograph, Dylan said in the liner notes, I always thought that was a good song, but it just never made it onto an album. Elsewhere in the session, they cut an instrumental and a song called Jet Pilot, which is another upbeat blues number that sonically is a little uninteresting and is again lacking the blessing of Blonde on Blonde's Mercury sounds. It is interesting lyrically, though, and it definitely feels like an idea that wasn't explored to its full potential. It's only a few lines, but the general idea is it's a story with a twist. Dylan sings, well, she's got jet pilot eyes from her hips on down. All the bombardiers are trying to force her out of town. She's 5'9" and she carries a monkey wrench. She weighs more by the foot than she does by the inch. She's got all the downtown boys all at her command. But you've got to watch her closely because she ain't no woman. She's a man. They did one take and never came back to it. The best song of the Blonde on Blonde outtakes, though, is also its most important one. She's Your Lover Now, as we know, was the turning point for Dylan deciding to ditch the New York sound and head to Nashville. But on its own, it's a good song. It's a rough diamond. Its working title was Just a Little Glass of Water, slang for a tall, attractive person, or even more usually, a slender, sexually attractive person. While cutting the song, producer Bob Johnston asked the name of the track. Before Dylan could land on the working title, Robbie Robertson piped up in the studio, You Can Have Her, that's what it's called. To which Dylan replied, yes, half blushing and, as you can tell from the audio, smirking, trying to contain a laugh. On the song's opener, our narrator is in a bad way. Dylan sings, the pawnbroker roared. Also, so did the landlords. The scene was so crazy, wasn't it? Both were so glad to watch me destroy what I had. Next, we hear how he's been left behind by his former lover, with the lines, Why don't you just leave me if you don't want to stay? Why do you have to treat me so bad? Did it have to be that way? We then have a little more detail on the woman. She, like we've seen elsewhere in Just Like a Woman, for example, has a fault, a flaw, something bringing her down. Dylan sings, "That's fine because she's coming on so strange, can't you tell? Somebody had better explain. She's got her iron chain. I do it, but I just can't remember how. You talk to her. She's your lover now." She's got her iron chain and acting strange gives us the impression that she has a darker side. But our narrator is through with her and it's someone else's problem now. This is a warning at times, this song. There's so many good lines in this tune, like the lovely passage of "Your mouth used to be so naked, your eyes used to be so blue, your hurts used to be so nameless and your tears used to be so few." And the ice cold put down of "You just sit around and ask for ashtrays, can't you reach?
Now you stand here saying you forgive and forget, honey, what can I say? You sit around and ask for ashtrays, can't you reach? I see you kiss her on the cheek every time she gives a speech."
It all adds up to a song about the end of a relationship. One line, "Why do you have to treat me so bad," even echoes the opener of Sooner or Later, which reads, "I didn't mean to treat you so bad." In fact, this might be why the song never made it onto the album. That and its lack of a real hook. What it is, though, is a depiction of a love triangle, but not in the regular sense. It's not full of desire, it's a goodbye and a warning to her next lover and a put-down all at once. It shifts to its addressing and sees our narrator putting on a brave face, trying to sound at times like he's happy when saying goodbye, but it's often unconvincing. Just like in Johanna, and as we've seen so many times before, at times, once again, our narrator sounds like a little boy lost. There is yet another person in a bad way on another outtake, Lunatic Princess. Just as on Like a Rolling Stone and Just Like a Woman, Dylan sings about someone who is coming apart. The lyrics are, "Why should you have to be so frantic? You always wanted to live life in the past. Now why you should be so Atlantic? You finally got your wish at last. You used to be oh so modest with your arm around your cigarette machine. Now you've lost it all. And you, all you've got is your $2 and your hat full of gasoline." As with Jet Pilot, this is not really a fully formed song. It's an enjoyable passage and could have led to so much more, but sadly that wasn't going to be the case. It was abandoned once again before it met its full potential. It's very telling that these outtakes come from New York. Dylan was still finding the record at that point. He'd barely even found a direction to go in, let alone starting to go there. These aren't really blonde on blonde songs at all, and despite a couple shining, they probably wouldn't have affected the album enough to change it in a positive way. Most of them just wouldn't have fitted either, sonically or lyrically. It's fitting really that this is such a classic because Blonde on Blonde never really has that track. There are some Dylan albums that have a missed opportunity, an excluded masterpiece, but here that's not the case. All the classics and all the big tunes make it onto the record, which might just make it Dylan's best album. Like we see a lot with Bob or any songwriter or creative person, there's hot streaks and there's not so hot streaks. By the time he goes to Nashville, he was in a purple patch. But here with these outtakes, that wasn't particularly the case. But still, this is mid-60s Dylan. These are good songs, just none of them in their forms to reach the heights of the classics on the LP. And while yes, this LP certainly contains some classics, just how good is it? What is Blonde on Blonde's legacy? That's something we look at next time.
Well, you know that's shoulder and you know so to come. After all, things could be much worse. No, I'm scared, man. I'm scared.
We're all scared, Bob. We're all scared. That's it for today's episodes. As I mentioned there, next time we'll look at the legacy of Blonde on Blonde in the penultimate episode on this record. Check out the Patreon feed because coming very, very soon on Bob Dylan Album by Album Extra is an interview with Charlie McCoy, as I mentioned before. Get that if you are a Bob Dylan Album by Album Extra subscriber. I'll see you next week for episode 6 on Blonde on Blonde. Until then, take care and goodbye.
A Fueled by Coffee production.